Greetings, good listeners. I'm your host, storyteller, and spell weaver, Shanga Tagore. You are tuning in to my divination channel. This is Episode Zero, a prismatifesto for the new world paradigm. Take note, this transmission holds a story about teenage sexual assault, although no explicit details on the assault are shared. Last night, I dreamt of my future partner. I couldn't see what they look like, but I know who they are. I heard a voice in the world, some kind of narrator. Maybe it was an ancestor, maybe it was myself. The voice said, "Your partner is not wounded by violence." Hold up. Let's rewind. Before I tell you about my future partner, I have to tell you about a breakup. It was the wrong relationship at the right time. You know the kind at the beginning you feel like, oh my god, this is it. This is my person. This is who I prayed for. This is lifelong love. And then 6 months later, it's like, oh, honey, this is so not right for you. The wrong person, but at the right time. Because something about that wrong relationship woke me up. Like some kind of ghostly activity shaking your bed back and forth at 5 a.m. Yeah, that kind of waking up. Like a great ancestor ass-kicking waking up. Like at the end of 2014, I'm walking down Bloor Street past Ossington, and for some reason I turn my head to the right and pivot into the doors of a walk-in $10 psychic. Maybe because the sky is regurgitating that slushy, snowy kind of rain and I'm having a bad day. I don't know. Maybe because I have anxiety balls in my chest and eggshells underneath my feet, the kind you get when your partner says that everything in a relationship is fine and you believe them. So why do you feel like they're going to break up with you at any moment? So I saw the psychic, and it was completely traumatizing. She basically told me that I was cursed, and that my only hope for a good life was to pay her a large amount of money so that she could break my curse. I said, "No, thank you." And I saw hatred in her eyes at my lack of consent. I went home and I made a post on social media about my shitty experience. And a dear soul on my friends list, who I wasn't close with, I just kind of knew from queer community, she gave me a beautiful gift. She said, "Hey, Shanga, I have an amazing psychic tarot reader that I see, and I paid her for a session on your behalf. It's yours whenever you want it." I was overcome. I was honored that someone who I didn't even know that well could be that generous toward me. No part of me was suspicious of her reader, even after the experience that I had. I was just grateful. The psychic tarot reader came to my house and gave me a reading. It was incredible. It was insightful and it was empowering. One thing I remember about the session is that while she was sitting on my couch, with the cards laid on the coffee table, I kept turning my head to the right, looking out the window, distracted. Though the thing distracting me was not actually a distraction. See, it was January in Tacaronto, dish with one spoon territory. In other words, it's cold. The sky was packed with clouds like a bloated suitcase and it was snowing, blizzard style. But in my peripheral vision, I kept seeing the sky clear, with parted clouds and a sun shining. It was tripping me up because every time I turned my head to the right and looked directly out the window, it was a blizzard. Then I'd look away and still in the corner of my eye see blue, spacious and relaxed, alongside parted clouds, only to look out the window again and see nothing but white, held breath. The other thing I remember about this reading is one thing that she said to me. She said, "You are a person of spirit. If you follow your spiritual calling, you will see that your life will be completely different in the best way possible. In just 5 years, you could see your life drastically change. That was the end of 2014, beginning of 2015. For those who know me or who have followed my work for the last 5 years, you know me as a mega powerful witch. You know my psychic communication skills are off the chart. You know me as someone who leads with spirit and whose spiritual practice is at the center of everything I do. So much that it really feels like I've just been this way for my whole life, because in many ways I have. But you have to understand that before 2014, I was not at all awakened to any of this. I had no spiritual practice. I had no idea that I had a spiritual calling, let alone what it was. But that one thing the psychic tarot reader said to me, a tarot reader who I never had a session with again, by the way, this one thing she said planted a seed that I just could not get out of my head, and it changed my life. Follow your spiritual calling and see how your life changes for good. After the tarot reader left my house, I sat in my quiet for a while. Then I turned my head to the right and looked directly out the window. The sky was blue, the clouds had parted, and the sun was shining. On that rainy, slushy snow day in 2014, I walked into a $10 psychic booth on Bloor and Ossington, and it was the wrong place at the right time. Because I chose to speak publicly about a traumatizing experience, I received a beautiful, generous, unexpected gift. Because I trusted that gift without suspicion, that gift planted a seed in my mind that would eventually grow into a luscious, abundant garden. A seed that prompted me to finally reach out to somebody who was sitting in my DMs, waiting patiently for me to consent to the call. In January 2015, I was a wild, hot, fucking mess, trying to make sense of the broken glass in my hands, the remnants of a wrong relationship I so desperately wanted to be right. Yes, they did end up breaking up with me. On Christmas. No therapist could help me with my mess, but I found a spiritual teacher who is my mama otter to this day, Dr. G. Love, one of the baddest black witches on the planet. She taught me how to make sense of and manage the enormity of my ancestral grief and rage that awakened in my consciousness through this breakup. She taught me how to place an ancestor altar in my home strictly for the dead. She saw me, and she reminded me of who I am. She said, "Who I have sitting in front of me is one of the most powerful channels I have come across." Choosing the wrong relationship at the right time launched me into a wild healing journey that brought me exactly the love of my life that I had prayed for. It brought me home to my ancestors. A breakup that at first seemed like a very offensive ass-kicking was actually my dad in the spirit realm, sneaking up behind me and kicking me in the butt like a football, sending me in the right direction, while the rest of my ancestors had a giggle fit because it was kind of funny. What at first seemed like heartbreak was actually just me stepping up to the plate for the greatest game of our lives, encircled by a sold-out crowd in a giant amphitheater as big as Broadway. Imagine a whole damn sports stadium of ancestors and descendants cheering for you, chanting your name because they know you're gonna win. And if I turn my head just a little bit to the right, I can see clearly the most special someone in the crowd. She's wearing a blue baseball cap and one of those giant number one thumbs, entirely sandwiched by adoration, reunion, and so many of her loved ones. And she's screaming, "Heavy hitter, heavy hitter," as I tap my baseball bat twice on the plate and get in position. See, I thought it was my dad who kicked my butt, but really, he was the one in front of me who stood on the mound and threw me my pitch. I was both the batter and the ball. I was ready to hit it out of the park, out of the norms, expectations, and confines of what a good little brown girl artivist is supposed to contribute or create. I was ready to fly out in space, traveling through many secret corridors in the galaxies. And when I came back home in September 2015, I had a story. I wrote a script, a letter to the universe. My dad kicked my butt and pitched me the ball that was the world that would eventually become a sacred story, the exact right story to hold him, carry him, and raise him through his sudden illness and transition exactly 9 months later in 2016. This was the story that had the medicine to help him become an ancestor. Out of all the stories in the universe, he chose this one. And so did I. The wrong relationship at the right time is why I decided to stop just falling in love and start actively choosing it. It's why I decided to stop acting like I have no control with love, constantly waiting with anxiety balls in my chest and eggshells under my feet, waiting for love to either choose me or leave me. Instead, I started remembering that I can have a love that I co-create with. I can have a love where I am both choosing and chosen. I can have love that is a powerful catalyst for growth, but instead of growing out of each other quick and fast, we can grow with each other through life's changes and evolutions. The wrong relationship at the right time is why I finally got really clear about exactly what I wanted, and I cast a spell to call in the life partner that I know I am meant to reunite with in my time on Earth. That was April 2015. What happened with the spell? That's a different story. Coming back to the present, in April 2022, I had a dream of, well, I'm still calling them my future partner because, no, we haven't met yet. But it's okay. As Michael Scott says about his soup snake, I think we have a long story. And I'm in no rush. So, I have a dream about my partner in April 2022. I can't see their face, but I know who they are. A voice in the world, a narrator says, "Your partner is not wounded by violence." Okay, the narrator didn't actually say violence. They used a different word and named a specific and very horrible, pervasive, systemic, ancestral violence. I'm choosing not to say that specific word in this transmission because it's their story and not mine. The narrator continued, "Your partner is not wounded by violence. You can't connect to your partner if your method of connecting in relationships revolves around being wounded." This narrator was speaking to some of my conditioned and knee-jerk habits when forging relationships. When I want to build community, friendships, or partnerships, I say, okay, let me put myself out there. Let me feel people out. On a very deep level, I feel where I am wounded, and I feel where others are wounded. Instinctively, I make connections with people like this, and then the relationship revolves around being wounded. But in this dream, I was told that my partner, who I'm praying for, isn't wounded by violence. It was clear that they are someone with the experience of violence named in my dream, but they're not wounded by it. So, if I want to meet this person, if I want to make that connection, well, they can't connect back to me if I'm forging my connections primarily through woundedness. I woke up and I sat with the full, abundant, medicinal quality of this dream. It led me to be really honest with myself about my personal experience with one of the nastiest woundings I carry, childhood sexual violence. This experience has impacted and shaped absolutely everything in my adult life in all the ways that sexual assault functions. Rage, confusion, disassociation, insecurity, low self-esteem, guilt, shame, overcompensating, over-apologizing, perfectionism, depression, cynicism, defensiveness, resentment, hopelessness, suicidal thoughts, attracting other relationships that mirror the dynamic, all of it, you name it. And yet, there is a part of me that genuinely does not feel wounded by my experience of childhood sexual assault. A part of me that feels like I'm good. I'm happy. I'm free. A part of me that has always felt this way, even minutes after it happened. And let me be clear, this is a feeling full of presence, not disassociation. It's not even that, fuck you, you can't kill me vibe, which I am well acquainted with as well. This is different. It's not fighting against anything. Just good, happy, free. The part of me that feels this way is terrified to say it out loud. I'm afraid that if I say it in public, that I'm good, I'm happy, I'm free. I'm afraid I'll be shamed, attacked by my community. Eventually, they'll resent me so hard that I'll have to leave and I'll then be alone. Because how dare I be good, happy, and free in the face of the nastiest kind of abuse? How dare I radiate that possibility model? And when you put it that way, it's very clear that an energy that will only support you if you are suffering in your survival, that will shame and attack you for not being ruined by sexual violence, is the same energy that violated you in the first place. When you put it that way, it is absolutely ridiculous that any of us might be shamed or judged or attacked for being good, happy, and free by a justice-oriented community. I mean, isn't that what we're fucking fighting for? And still, I understand the knee-jerk reaction of anger and defensiveness to a statement such as, I'm not wounded by violence. Because we have all been so bombarded by gaslighting. Gaslighting that tells us that oppression doesn't exist, that we're making it up or causing drama or breaking the peace when we speak up about abuse. Gaslighting that says that violence we've experienced isn't that bad and we're blowing things out of proportion. A huge part of the world still thinks like this, and many of us prioritize investing our energy into dismantling the gaslighting. We are vigilant to destroy gaslighting in any place we see it. So a random passing statement like, I'm not wounded by violence, on the surface, sounds like someone's participation in the gaslighting. In this context, we most certainly do want to break the peace. We have a rage and resist response if anyone even mentions the word peace. But the truth is, the desire to not break the peace in a context of abuse was never about maintaining peace. It was always about maintaining the status quo of violence. Breaking the peace is actually opening a gate for real, genuine peace to birth, exist, and flow. So call me a motherfucking peace bearer. I've gotten to the point in my journey as a peace bearer where I no longer only want to fight for peace. I want to experience it holistically, entirely. I want to share it and build it. And I do not want to do it alone. I don't want to live in an environment where fighting and dismantling gaslighting is my only priority. I want to give time, space, attention, and priority to this magical, beautiful part of myself that genuinely does not feel wounded by violence. The part of me that's like, yeah, I have wounds, but I'm not wounded. Who are you? What are your layers? What more do you have to say? What do you understand about yourself? What can I learn from you, and how do I honor you? Because I've been ignoring you for too long, putting you aside for too long, For too long have I allowed you into spaces where others will make you feel judged, criticized, and ashamed for who you are. Now, I want you to take up space. I want you to be safe. I want you to take the mic. How will my life change in 5 years if I let you step up to the plate, front and center in my life? What kind of great, long-lasting, empowering, heartfelt, giant, reciprocated relationships might I find as a result? This part of me might think differently about a wound. What if it's not something that has victimized me? What if a wound is simply an opening for healing and learning? I find great joy in both healing and learning, and I'm not afraid of the pain. This part of me might bring a great amount of depth and nuance to this statement, I have wounds, but I'm not wounded, and suggest this statement as a claiming of healing and learning through all of our experiences, whatever they may be, and thus recognize this statement as an antidote to the gaslighting. Because claiming our healing and learning with full force is the energy that doesn't just dismantle a gaslighting that tells us healing is unnecessary because violence doesn't exist. No, this statement decimates the gaslighting. When I was 15, I was sexually assaulted the night before I was to participate in a major piano competition. Growing up, piano was one of the greatest loves of my life. My piano was my altar. It was May in the year 2000. This competition was kind of like the state finals, and my dad was going to drive me a couple hours to a nearby city to compete. The morning after the assault, it did not compute in my brain that I had been assaulted. It did not compute that anything bad had happened to me. I was not able to make any connections between how I was feeling that morning and what had happened to me the night before. My dad waited for me as I got ready. We were both about to leave the house. He walked outside, but I stood at the doorway. I couldn't move. I couldn't get my body to leave. I broke down and I had a mini panic attack. I kept telling my dad, I can't go, I can't do it, I just can't. I can't remember how to play the piano. I remember that feeling clearly. I didn't know how I was going to get on stage. I couldn't remember how to play my song that I had been working on for months. I couldn't remember how it started. Couldn't remember the first note to play or how to get my hands to play it. I kept imagining myself sitting at that piano bench and for the life of me could not remember what I was supposed to do when I got there. At the time, I didn't know what I know now, that sexual violence is first and foremost designed to attack our relationship with spirit, with our ancestors, with our dearest altars, whatever they may be, with our earth, our home, and our unique sacred place in nature. I was ready to throw in the towel. At the time, the piano was my biggest dedication. I was planning on seriously pursuing a career path as a concert pianist. I worked so hard every day preparing for this competition. I worked my ass off to bring my unique interpretation of this piece of music to a state of excellence. I was ready to say fuck it, flush it all down the toilet, give up, don't leave the house, just go back to bed. I stood at the gate and I told my dad, I can't do it. I can't do it. I have to stay home. My dad listened. He was quiet. And then he said, it's okay. Just come. It's okay. And I did. We were mostly silent for the entire 2-hour drive, but something happened in our quiet. It was yellow. I don't know how to explain it other than to say that while my dad traveled from one gate to another, he gave me yellow. It was the same yellow that filled the room and my entire essence 16 years later, in May 2016, at his funeral. We got to the competition. When they called my name, I walked to the stage and sat at the feet of a gorgeous grand piano. As I sat in my seat of power, I felt roots from both my feet and the piano reach down, down, down into the earth's core. I felt us integrating with the trees and the mycelium. I played my song flawlessly. It's not just that I didn't make any mistakes, not just that I knew exactly what to do and how to do it. I played flawlessly because I was completely full of the earth. I played flawlessly not because I somehow managed to pull it off. I played flawlessly because it was inevitable, because I had never been so grounded, so connected, so held, so lifted. I played flawlessly because I knew exactly who I am and who I've always been, a sacred, integral part of nature. I played flawlessly because I remembered. I remembered that when I'm reunited with the greatest loves of my lifetimes, my piano and whoever, whatever else they may be, I am a wild force of life, full of everything, free of everything. On the drive home, my dad and I were quiet again, but in a different way. Somewhere sandwiched in between a radiant, abundant amount of spaciousness and silence, he said to me, "The way you played today, you made my day." That was his way of telling me that I had given him yellow, that he was good, happy, free. After a long period of winter, I'm ready today to open my heart to community again. I want to connect to living, breathing humans again. And I want to connect through so much more than just woundedness. I want to connect to people's joy. I want to connect to people's hope. I want to connect to that wacky, silly part of you, the part of you that is healing and learning. I want to connect to your inspiration, to your unabashed enthusiasm. I want to connect to your generosity. I want to connect to your happiness and to your freedom. I want to connect with the aliveness in everything. I want to give space, attention, and priority to these qualities within myself because I have pushed them aside and shrank them down for too long out of fear of being attacked. I want to know more about the part of me who played the piano flawlessly the morning after a sexual assault. I want to learn about what happens when she takes the mic. Because she's always been at home, center stage. Because I'm good. I'm yellow. My deepest gratitude to you, dear friend, for listening. If you love and appreciate this work, please subscribe to the podcast and give us a glowing 5-star review while you're at it. To reciprocate this medicine, I invite you to pay it forward and or pay it back. To pay it forward, share this brand new podcast with 1, 2, 5, or hell, a whole stadium worth of folks and help us find and build our audience. To pay it back, you can support us on Patreon or learn more about how to become an investor on our website. And of course, you can find all these links in the show notes. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. So there are three components of our work here. The Divination Channel, aka this podcast. We are also a creation company where we create and produce original ancestrally guided theater work and audio drama. And a storytelling school where we alchemize energetic medicine, magic, ritual, and spell work with the creative process. We study storytelling craft as an expression of altar building, decolonization, self-knowledge, and the artistry through which we move through life. In the spirit of our storytelling school, at the end of each episode, I am going to share some journal prompts inspired by the journey we just went through. This is for those of you who want to dive deeper into your own self-study, self-recovery, remembering, and creativity. I'll also be sharing these journal prompts on our Patreon page, where you can comment and share your reflections on the journal prompts if you like, because I know how important it is to be witnessed when you're embarking on this kind of self-reflection work. So here is today's journal prompt. Think of a part of yourself that is really special and important, but maybe under-recognized or under-supported. A part of you that you want to prioritize more and give more attention to. This could be the needs of your physical body. It could be your creativity, your spirit of invention. It could be the part of you that knows how to fall in love. You can even take something that you feel challenged with right now. Maybe you're having a hard time adjusting to change or communicating in your relationships. Call upon the part of you that trusts change and your ability to move with it. Call upon the part of yourself that is an honest, brave communicator. Choose the part of yourself that wants to take the mic and ask them these questions. Who are you? What are your layers? What more do you have to say? What do you understand about yourself? What can I learn from you? How do I honor you? As we wrap up this transmission, I want to acknowledge that I titled the last episode we shared as the prologue for season one, but I'm calling this episode zero and not episode one. That's because in my practice with numerology, zero is the most important number. Why do we skip over it? The medicine of zero is everything and nothing. Zero is complete silence. And in that silence contains all possibilities and multitudes of worlds. I also call this episode a prismatifesto. What is that, you ask? Well, it's like a manifesto or a femifesto, but prismatic in nature and gender. You get it. So, the place in our storytelling altar reserved for zero is the perfect place to state our prismatifesto for the entire journey we are embarking on, when so much of it is still a mystery and exists in the unknown. This is where we name our dedications. This is where we honor who we are and who this heart work, spell work, and love work is for. This is for survivors who are no longer chained to their suffering. For the wild ones whose magic is awakening into reality. For the ancestors who invested in my writing while I learned how to remember my own worth and reciprocity. For the ancestors that chose me and assured me that they would hold my belief for me as long as I struggle to believe in myself. For the ancestors currently having a laugh attack on my altar at some weird-ass inside joke that I really can't explain to you. For the planets and constellations that spoke to me before I remembered that I was listening. For my star lineage, my epic galactic history. For my favorite people, my favorite animals, and my favorite timelines. For all my altars. For my piano. For the greatest loves of my lifetimes, for the blue jay and for the cardinal, for water, my beloved. fire, my universe, earth, my home, and air, myself. For death, my friend, life, my choice, and love, my birthright. For the gaggle of boisterous animals that encircle me and offer me the best company and the best jokes, especially when I'm lonely. For the falcon, my identity, the night horse and the brown bear, my power. For the frog, my heart, and for the porcupine, my yellow. For the dogs and birds of my teenage heart, for sacred tears and forgiveness. For my 52 doppelgangers, for the cobra, the barn owl, the phoenix, the mother wolf, and the big damn giant cat. For the strawberries, the tulips, the aurora borealis, and the trees that stand still, tall in the water. For my birthday twin, shadow twin, spiritual clone, and soup snake. For the Gemini twins no longer burdened by the tragedy of separation. For premonition, the conjurer, the warrior, the healer, the siren, and the intergalactic superstar. For my unapologetic silence. For my voice that has the power to find anyone who is lost, no matter where they are in the universe. For my song that shatters my glass ceiling. For the happiest of times during the saddest goodbye. For the grief workers, death doulas, psychic channelers, song weavers, timekeepers, community mothers, and storytellers. For the builders and creators, for the harmonizers, for the funky tribe, for the soul shifters. And that's gatekeeper with a Y, motherfucker. For us, the chosen many, for just us. Esta and Rahel. For the slayers who did not have a voice in an all-white writer's room. For all potentials everywhere. For my watchers, for my father. For every mother heartbroken while making impossible choices, know that here and now you are no longer chained to your suffering, and so it is from now on. For every teenager that grew up too fast and was initiated into their calling without their consent, here and now, you get to be young, silly, safe, and free. And so it is from now on. For every elder who put their faith in a mission knowing full well there'd be no guarantee of your safety, no guarantee of winning, here and now, you get to receive the gifts of your own medicine. You get to benefit from your own legacy. You get to receive the bounty of your own making. And so it is from now on. From now on, this is my time with the mic. My time to rise and shine. This glorious, heartbreaking stretch of history and galactic memory. The era of the great awakening. The era of the great unraveling. The era of amnesia and remembering, of inventing and reuniting. This is my time to grieve with a healed heart. My time not just to love, but to let go and let myself be loved. My time to look at the broken glass in my palms and adore my beautiful hands for everything they've ever held, passion and despair. Everything they've created and everything they have yet to create. All the music they've remembered and played. My hands who know what it means to hold on to dear life, to hold the most dear life. As they let go of their body and cross the veil, my hands who know how to hold this beloved planet in my palms, because she is not just my mother, she's my granddaughter too. For every part of me that has been lost, ready to throw in the towel, not knowing, not remembering why I am here and what is the point, this is my time. For the baddest witches on the planet, the ones who have the power to destroy, but instead, they choose to live. For every extraordinary, ordinary, otherworldly human. for Buffy. For the giant moves and for the small things. For the return of the goddess. For the god in everything. Welcome to Otherworldly Giants.